Please pray with me. Oh Lord God, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I have to begin this morning by thanking Father Jack for his choice in the preaching schedule, having me preach today. Preachers will often, and I say this with no sarcasm, preachers will often let the congregation know when they sense they have been given a particularly difficult text or a difficult day to preach. I'm guilty of this myself, but I come here this morning to do the opposite. For it is Refreshment Sunday, our Lenten midpoint. Today we come up for air and see that Easter is on the horizon. 22 days of fasting, or at least our best effort at fasting completed, 18 to go for those keeping score at home. So the mood is good. Now, it's even better, and I am happy to preach today, even better for me, because today, on top of all that, is the first Sunday of the 2025 Major League Baseball season. Opening day this past Thursday, it means that my Atlanta squad and the rest of the MLB teams are now in action in games that count, racing towards October. You will seldom find a more hopeful baseball fan than at the beginning of a season. In a new season, anything is possible. The losses and the injuries haven't started to pile up too much just yet, and it feels like everyone has a real chance. I am hoping for a great summer of listening to a game on the radio while I grill in my driveway. Good days are ahead. It sure feels good to start again, doesn't it? Maybe the reasons we are starting over aren't always causes for celebration, but the opportunity to begin anew, to do things right this time, to be more hopeful, more loving, more prepared. This is an exciting opportunity. I found it to be a powerful force when I am in a tense conversation to say something like this. I feel that we aren't hearing one another. Can we start again? Can we start again? If possible, such a move, it can reframe a destructive conversation and put it and make it into a constructive one. Starting again can certainly be a good thing and is a good opportunity, but you may rightly be thinking, as I'm speaking here this morning, that that isn't always possible. Some things can't be unbroken, it seems. And when it comes to slacking on Lenten disciplines, how much slacking makes it pointless to keep them up at all? How far gone is too far gone? What if those disciplines were a lofty thought on Ash Wednesday, but we never got around to starting them? Is it too late to start again? Is it too late to start, period? Maybe that question runs even deeper than our practices of discipline during a particular liturgical season. Maybe we have walked away from practicing our faith more generally. Maybe our faith feels stale and stagnant. Maybe we are wondering if we have a faith at all. Our spiritual lives, they can get run off the rails by the same sort of anxieties and worries that hinder us in other areas of life, our health, our professional life. What I'm talking about is the type of guilt or fear of failure that perpetuates the very thing we are feeling guilty for. Oh, I missed my workout this week, so there's no point in going next time. I'll just be worse off than I was before. I can't play that minor seventh chord. I can't get that shading just right, so I'm just not going to try. It's so easy to see the lie in this type of guilt and shame, yet it is so easy to give into it, especially in our spiritual life. But physical fitness, mastery at a form of art, or spiritual disciplines, these are won or lost on the ability to keep showing up. The desire to renew and start again when failure happens. And I say, yes, especially after failure. So on this refreshment Sunday, I want us to see the God who invites us to begin again. Each of these Sundays in our Lenten season is a feast day, as you all know, where we relax our fasts in anticipation and in celebration of the Easter that we know is coming. Let this pattern also present to us a new opportunity each and every Lord's Day to renew our commitment to our disciplines, to refresh our commitment to listening to the call of God in this Lenten season. Easter itself represents a grand opportunity for a new beginning, for renewal. It is at Easter that we, as the church, we renew our baptismal vows together, a yearly reminder of the commitments we have made to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to turn to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So when it comes to our faith, to the commitments we have made to the Lord and to one another as the church, yes, we can start again. And Refreshment Sunday is the perfect time to do so. Our readings today point us to this theme of beginning again. So let's begin with our reading from Joshua. Going back all the way to this early account of God's people, we see that God has always been the God who desires that his people renew their commitment to him. Let's set the scene here a little bit. By the time of our reading, the Exodus has ended. The people have crossed over into the Promised Land, having spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Joshua has been selected to take the mantle of Moses as the people's leader. Spies have been sent into this Promised Land of Canaan, and the decision has been made that the people are going to go. Just before this passage that we read this morning was the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River, where the water stopped for the people to cross on dry land, the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them, a fitting bookend to a 40-year journey that began with crossing and deliverance at the Red Sea. And so we get to our reading today. The people begin stacking a memorial, making a memorial with 12 stones, a way to remember God's faithfulness through the generations generally, and specifically for the crossing at the Jordan, for that is where the stones lay. Now, this is aside from the focus of today's sermon, but I want us to just hint at that it is significant that remembering is an important part of the process of renewal, remembering God's faithfulness, remembering God's story with his people. And renewal, then, is what comes next in our reading from Joshua. You will see, if you are following along in your pew Bible, that we skipped over a few verses in chapter 5 this morning. And that is mostly because the practice of circumcision is mentioned about 8 or 9 times in just a few verses. So to spare our readers today, we went with a shorter reading. But I mention it here now because it is significant. In the circumcision of the males of the people of Israel, a practice that had lapsed in the wilderness and in the holding of Passover, which we did read about, this is a renewal of the covenant. As the people are coming into the new land, the covenant is being renewed. As they begin this new phase, they need to be drawn back to the covenant that was made with their ancestor Abraham. The people, hey, they had been through a rough and trying time in the desert. They were about to experience more adversity in the Promised Land. They were going to be tempted to follow after the idols and gods of others living in the land, a test that we know, sadly, was failed in many cases. They needed to be reminded of the covenant they held with the one true God. More than a reminder, they needed a renewed commitment to walk with him. They needed to start again. Now we, like the people of Israel, we are a marked people. Our baptism is the sign of the new covenant. Beloved sons and daughters of God washed in the waters that recall not only the waters of the Red Sea and the Jordan River, but the water that flowed out of the pierced side of our Savior. And just like the Israelites coming out of the desert after 40 years of wandering, we too will emerge soon from our 40 days of Lenten fasting. As they renewed the covenant of Abraham with circumcision in the Passover meal, we will renew our baptismal vows and feast for the season of Easter. It has always been God's desire for his people, when they are led astray, to return and to renew their commitment to him. God has been doing this work, this kind of work, all along. But we may ask, how? How are we renewed? What makes the waters of baptism so special? The one who was baptized in them, that's who. The one who died and rose for our sake. If anyone is in Christ, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he is a new creation. Starting again is possible, but only through the person and work of God the Son. Without Jesus, there's no starting over. We don't get to renew our pursuit of God simply by our own merits, but because of what God has done for us. If the story of the Israelites renewing their covenant with God, it tells us the answer to the question of what starting again with God looks like. And the person and work of Christ is the answer to how renewal is possible. What is left to discuss is the why. Why does God care about our renewal? He's God, creator of heaven and earth. He could just start over. We're so far gone at times. Why not just wipe the slate clean and start from scratch? Well, Jesus answers this question by telling a story about an ungrateful son and a loving father. You've heard it before, you've heard it just now, but as an invitation to start again, let's look at it one more time. A hasty and shocking rejection of family ties. A selfish and entitled request for an early inheritance. When the prodigal leaves home with half of dad's money, he's telling him he values that cash more than the fact that his father is living and breathing. What a colossal waste he makes of it all. Rock bottom. Having spent everything he has hastily ran away with, the younger brother finds himself taking from food that was meant for farm animals. But then, a memory. Not 12 stones stacked on top of one another to signify a river crossing, but a remembrance of a loving father all the same. Dad surely won't take me back as his son, but at least if I worked for him, I could live better than this. I've seen how he treats his employees well. It's worth a shot, at least. And maybe, just maybe, there's a spark of hope as the son walks back home, but he tries to squelch that feeling down as often as it pops up, so he's not disappointed. Sure, the father is a loving and gracious man, but he couldn't be that loving and gracious, could he? Yes, it's best to expect, at the very most, an honest day's wages for an honest day's work. That is better than what the son deserves. And then in the parable, there's that clause that is so full of meaning. But while he was still a long way off. Now, this phrase conveys the timing of what happens next, but it does a good bit more, doesn't it? The son is not yet home. He had time to change his mind and turn around, but no, the father is not going to let that happen. But while he was still a long way off, Father runs. The time will come for apology and hard conversations, conversations about how things will be different this time around, but that time in the Father's mind is not right now. It's time to run. He's grasping at any chance he has for his son to come home. So the first item on his agenda is to run out as fast as he can and make sure the boy gets home for real. That's priority number one. If you want to see the heart of God, that's it right there. We know it's a trustworthy account because Jesus gives it to us himself. When we wonder how starting again is possible, we should remember what God is like. The Father who joyfully welcomes the prodigal home. So yes, we can start again. And we who have started again, we are now representatives of God's invitation to start again in the world. Hear again what Paul says in 2 Corinthians after he says those in Christ are a new creation. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Far be it from us to think that God's reconciling, refreshing, and restarting work ends with us. We are not the last prodigals to receive God's grace. No, his will is that all his children may return to him. He's anxiously awaiting. There's a warning in the parable of the prodigal that we may not always see. Often, and rightfully so, we picture ourselves in the story as the younger brother, the one who needed to come home, and we weep at the beauty of the father's love. But there is another brother in the story. The open-ended nature of the end of the story makes it impossible to say for sure his fate, but there certainly seems to be a chance that the story ends, indeed, with one brother outside of the overflowing joy of the father. It is that older brother, inspired by those Pharisees and scribes, whose comments about who Jesus chooses to eat with prompts the telling of this story in the first place. That's who Jesus is speaking to here. When we forget our own wanderings in the far country, when we start to take of the love of the Father for granted, we can get cynical and bitter when that opportunity to begin again is offered to someone we don't feel deserves it. And so we choose the way of the second prodigal son, the self-imposed exile of a bitter heart. So if you need a restart today on Refreshment Sunday, on Lenten commitments, on following Jesus, on desiring for God's will to be done and his kingdom to come in your life and in the world, today is a great day to begin again. Thanks be to God for that. If your neighbor, your friend, your loved one, your enemy chooses to begin again today, remember that the Father is in the front yard, ready to run and greet them. Make sure you don't skip out on the reunion party. Renewal, refreshment, a new beginning, these are all available. God has been doing this sort of thing since his people were wandering around in deserts. That work was completed for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and his new creation life is available to those who would take part in him. And all of this is sealed and guaranteed by the love of a father who is looking intently to the horizon, running shoes tied up tight, eager to welcome us home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.